You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
From Cabernet to Monet, they're here to slay the art history babes.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Corey.
I'm Natalie.
I'm Jen.
I'm Ginny, and we are the art history babes.
We're back!
At long last.
It's been a while.
The hiatus. It feels like it's been over. 93 years.
Yeah. 93 years.
It has been the longest November of my entire life.
I think I have more white hairs now, yeah, too. Yeah.
Ah, Jesus. Yeah, and no, it's been a very long time. Friends, we don't talk about it often, but we do talk about it. We are grad students, and it's been a really troublesome and trying quarter, and we're all in our process of proposing our theses.
Woo!
Our lovely Ginny has already had her committee meeting. How great for her. And Nat, Corey, and I are still getting everything together for our proposal meetings. So wish us luck.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. You will hear about the whole process as we construct our theses, sure. I'm sure.
Oh, we'll be talking about it.
We will.
We'll be crying about it.
We will have things to say.
We'll be ranting and raving about it.
But yeah, so we've been wrapping up our fall quarter of our second year of grad school, which, you know, has been full of papers and thesis stuff and grading and all kinds of things. And then on top of it, add the weight of the world, because
God,
the unthinkable happened.
Yeah. Well, last they heard from us, we were still full of optimism.
Yes.
We were so young and foolish
and naive.
You know, I just want to get this out of the way. I need to apologize because in that episode, I was very like, it's never going to happen. He's never going to be president. That's insane. Come on. And I was very much, I was so 100% convinced
that Hillary was going to win.
And right. And like, I remember being very adamant in that episode about like, no, you guys, stop freaking out. It's not going to happen. And then the night of the election, we were all over at Ginny's house and we were just watching those numbers and the night started off really fun. We're all drinking wine.
We ordered Thai food to be delivered.
Yeah, yeah. And we're eating our pad thais and we're just watching these numbers and we're watching the country turn redder and redder. And redder, and I think at some point I was on the floor and was like, what's happening? And it happened.
It happened, and we have all been doing our best to deal with it, but, like, not to sugarcoat anything. This hasn't been something that any of us have just, like, dusted off. Like, the next day, I remember very vividly, we were all fucking wrecks.
Yeah. Crying. Hungover.
We all wore black the next day.
Yes.
In morning. I remember, like, because I had to go to the class that I TA for, and the students had to ask me some questions, and I remember I looked at one of my students in the eyes, and I was like, I really don't care about anything right now. Yeah. And I was, like, 100% honest with them, and I was like, email me and I will help you out, but like I don't have right anything now. Right now.
I nearly cried in front of my students.
I did cry. Yeah. I had to teach section at 9 a.m. Not only was I painfully hungover because once I noticed that the country was going to hell, I just proceeded to get like completely hammered, and I had to teach at 9 a.m. and I was, oh, it was really bad, and I was in my section, and I showed up, and I just, not only was I hungover, but I was also very puffy-faced, because I was crying all night, and all of my students were miserable, and we were supposed to talk about, I think, like, Greek bases or something, and I told them, I said, we're not gonna talk about this shit, so let's just talk about how we feel.
And my class, fittingly, we talked about anti-utopias.
Wow. Oh. That's great.
The dystopian future.
It wasn't dystopian. Dystopian would have been better, but it was an anti-utopia, which is
interesting.
But that at least, there were, like, a few parts where I can make, like, snide comments, and that was, that was a relief.
Yeah, it was really hard to be in a position of some kind of authority over a group of people who are just a couple of years younger than me, who were asking me questions about, you know, what's going to happen now, or what do you think is going to happen? I had one student ask me, do you think I'm going to get deported? Because she's an AB 540 student. She's a dreamer. And so those are undocumented students that go to the university that we go to. And I just didn't know what to say. I was like, no, I don't think you will be. I think that everything's going to be fine. And
I also don't know.
I was like, everything's going to be fine. You're not going to get deported. Don't worry about that. And inside, though, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. Those are the kinds of questions now that were already being asked. And now it's like way more real. Mm-hmm. These questions that are like, wow, my mom is like our boy. Hassan
Minaj.
Who we will be seeing.
Yeah.
Have you bought your ticket?
I haven't.
We'll do that after this episode.
We need to buy your tickets. Hassan Minaj.
He's a correspondent on The Daily Show and an amazing, amazing man. You should look him up if you haven't ever heard of him or watched anything that he's done. But yeah, he was on The Daily Show like the next day, and his mom, who's Muslim, was back in visiting, I think he said visiting family. And she was in India, and she was like, I'm scheduled to come back in February. Do you think I can get back in the country? And he was just like, I honestly don't know. I couldn't tell her, like, yeah, of course. Of course you can. And that's, I think, been what has been the most disheartening and just very disappointing and sad, that now those questions, you know, they're no longer just kind of rhetorical or like, oh, depending on what happens. But it's a real concern for many, many people in this country now.
I think, like, what's been really just so hard and, like, weighty and just, like, hurts is how empowered so many horrible people feel now.
Yes.
Like, that's not me saying everyone who voted for Trump is a horrible person. That's not me saying that at all. Mm. But it is me saying that a lot of people that believe very racist, very horrible things now feel empowered by this.
They feel justified in their hatred because they think that the majority of the country agrees with them. Even those people who voted for Trump and don't agree.
And even though a majority of the country doesn't, because Hillary won by 2.5 million more votes. Just gonna throw that out there.
In case you haven't heard, which I'm sure all of our listeners have heard. Because
it's beyond that now they're justified. Now they are essentially, it's like giving a green light.
Yeah.
It's giving a green light to all those people who are secret racists. Because let's just get this out there. People who are racist and misogynist know that that's a shitty way to be. And they kind of try to, like, hide it
a little
bit.
Well, up until recently.
Right, exactly. But I'm thinking of just, like, the way that people will carry on, like, arguments online and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time, I feel like I've encountered, just personally, people who carry very troublesome views about women or black people or Muslims or Mexicans or whatever it is, gay people, lesbian people, whatever it might be, there are people who will talk about their prejudice, but will try to conceal it in these very nuanced ways where they really rely on semiotics to, mm-hmm. like, disguise how they feel, really. And now, because we have a racist misogynist as our president, these people are now given a green light. And I think that what we're going to see over the next 4 years will be way more blatant, open racism and misogyny and just hate.
So just to give you guys an example, this isn't anyone that I know, but this is exactly what Jen was just talking about. A friend of mine posted a screenshot of this comment that someone wrote, and the friend of mine was calling them out for their hate speech and talking about, and basically using this as an example of everything we've just said about the bigger issue on, like, a societal level. This guy, I won't say his name, although I'd love to put this person on blast. Liberals will continue to cry like the little bitches they have always been. It would be a great start if Julio Cortez Dorito Del Nacho Chavez and his illegal family were all sent back to Mexico, and Kuntisha Jig Jackson and his tribes were sent back to Africa, and send all liberals to Canada. Wait, Canada won't allow them in their country. Mexico is so much better, they say, waving the Mexican flag and stomping on the American flag, so they should just move to Mexico.
That makes me...
Doesn't it just, like...
I feel very, like, viscerally...
Like, did you, like, blood pressure? Just,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, you know, I,
like,
but,
like,
see, that's, like, a little bit different. That's what... See, what I was saying, and also I used the word... I said semiotics. I meant semantics. So,
but that,
you know,
like, people don't feel like they have to hide behind that anymore. Now they feel like they can...
Exactly. So that
shifted to this.
That is so blatant. It's almost cartoonish.
It is.
It's like
disgusting.
It's like cartoon racism. Like, who says that? Wetsigan flag? Kiss my ass.
For real. No, I saw a tag. Someone tagged a wall, and I was like, 100% make... racists afraid again, which is like so fucking real. Like, so many of us, I remind myself, 2.5 million more of us are really struggling and trying to deal with this, and knowing that there are so many of us that are trying to work through this and are willing to, like, fight back against this bullshit and, like, are basically, you know, not going to be silenced by all of this does give me some kind of hope. But ultimately, this notion, like, this isn't about... And I think we said this on the election propaganda episode. This really isn't about politics anymore. Like, I don't give a shit if you're a Democrat or Republican. This is about racism and xenophobia and horrible misogyny being normalized.
And, like, transphobia.
Like,
homophobia.
This is about human rights. This is, like, I don't care what your political affiliations are. I do not give a shit at this moment. Like, this is about something much, much bigger than that. And, like, if you, you know, happen to be on the conservative side and maybe you think that Trump was the right choice and you think that liberals are just being crybabies, I'm sorry, but you're missing the point. Because this isn't us crying because we lost.
No.
Like, no one gives a shit about that. Like, that's not what this is about. This is about people's livelihood. Like, people, like, I mean, speak from my personal experience, like, my anxiety has, like, been through the roof since this election, just because I'm, like, worried for people.
Yeah.
I'm worried about what's gonna happen next. I'm, like, scared for the sheer fact that, like, all of this horrible racist violence has been erupting since this really trashy man was elected, and, like,
it's scary.
It's
really frightening. I'm afraid that I'm gonna end up in jail because I'm a confrontational person, and I'm also a Mexican in the sense that I have Mexican parents. My whole family's in Mexico. My parents are from Mexico. They're here legally, by the way. I was born here, but I very much identify as being Mexican because it's a culture. It's not really a race, you know. But, you know, just the other day, just a couple days ago, it was on Thanksgiving. I was at the store with my dad. And my dad is kind of I wouldn't call him a cholo, but he's sort of like an old Mexican guy, and he grew up in San Francisco, so he's very much like, kind of like a, he has that kind of like cholo attitude, but he's also 67, all right, and he wears a lot of shirts with like the Aztec calendar on it, or the particular shirt he was wearing on this day was like kind of a long thing that said like, I'm Mexican, not Hispanic, not Latino, not blah blah blah. And you know, it was kind of like, oh dad, like your shirt. And I love him because he's very much like, you know, he likes to be outspoken. And someone at the store was just staring at my dad and staring at his shirt. And I got very annoyed at this person, and they wouldn't stop staring. And this person was with their like wife or whatever, and was like kind of whispering and like saying something. And I was just like, do you have a problem? And like got really confrontational, you know, because I'm protective of my dad, and he's old, and I don't want anyone picking any fights with him or anything, because I don't want anything to happen to him. And I'm just thinking like, that ended up being nothing, but I'm already so on edge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like, because I am someone who wears my culture on my sleeve and it's a part of my identity, I feel like at some point over the next 4 years, I'm going to get into a fight, if not like a couple, because I feel so on edge and defensive about what I feel is a personal attack.
For yeah. sure. And I think that's a very real thing, too, is a lot of people are really angry right now, and a lot of people are feeling a whole gamut of emotions, and I think it's 100% justified. And obviously, like, you have to figure out ways to like deal with those things and channel those things, but this notion that everyone's just gonna be okay with this is ridiculous. I can, like, once again, just speaking from the art history babe's point of view, but we're gonna fight every step of the way.
Yeah.
And I mean,
tooth and nail.
Yeah, exactly. And once again, trying to find any slight silver lining you can find in a situation like this.
Right.
One great thing that has kind of been happening is that our boy Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have kind of taken over the Democratic Party.
I miss you, Papa.
which is dope as shit. And like, it gives me hope, because literally every day I see both of them like just like, we are gonna fight Donald Trump every step of the way. Like on this horrible nationalist agenda of his, and it's like, thank you, oh captain, my captain. and this whole thing is really hard to deal with. I think we're all gonna try and channel our anger into fighting
production
back.
That's another silver lining as well, because there's so much more, and I mean, already there's a great outpouring of tremendous writing, like actual journalism with actual facts, which is another thing we could totally go off, and we'll do it another time.
Yeah.
But so when you look at shit times like this, the thing to keep in mind is that like out of these shit times comes a lot of really thought-provoking art. And I mean that in like the broadest sense, not just art in kind of the terms of that we talk about, but also in terms of writing, and more people are reading things and watching things and trying to kind of get ideas out, and this sort of climate of producing things to kind of generate more awareness and more thought, because we need to think more.
Yeah.
We really need to fucking think more.
For real.
If nothing else that
That's
we could take
we
away
got here
from
in the
this.
First place.
Yeah. Exactly.
I saw a tweet the other day. I don't remember who it was, like a comedian or something. And it was like, it sure is a great time to be alive if you're dumb and mean.
Yeah. Willful ignorance. It's time to die.
It is. And I mean, if we're going to follow the whole Zizekian theory, this was in his eyes the better option because now everything's out there and it's going to actually create real change. Yeah. I mean, not only are all of these like racist, prejudiced people having a platform where they feel justified to say these things, but now those people are exposed and all of the people who are thoughtful and angry at these people are also, everything's out there.
Yeah.
And now we can work from there versus pretending like we don't see color and shit like that. Like, there's no, you know, unless you have
bleached
blonde hair and you're talking to Trevor Noah.
If I see or hear anybody say that, I'll get in your face.
Did you watch the Tommy Lahan?
I only watched a few minutes of it. Because she's
horrible. I saw the memes though.
Yeah,
I saw all the memes.
When she said, like, I was like, you just said, like, the stereotypical, like, I'm a racist sentence. Like, you just said it.
Right.
Like, honestly, I don't see color. Are you serious?
It's the ignorance.
Yeah,
sentence.
Yeah.
It's the, like, I'm so ignorant that I can say this and it covers all my tracks.
I'm so ignorant
that's
to...
what people want me to say. Right. They want me to say.
Well, I'm so ignorant to the problems faced by so many people in this country that are so much different than me that I can just say this thing and, I am absolved somehow.
I have a really hard time accepting, like, Zizek saying, oh, it's the better option that Trump became president because now there's going to be real change. I know some assholes who did vote for Trump with that mentality, and I don't like those people. And who knows, right, if that's the good thing? Because we haven't even been in the presidency yet. We don't really know how it goes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We don't really know what's going to happen. But if he comes into power and things like gay conversion camps become a common thing, just to give one example, no, okay? That doesn't make it a better option. It's a horrible situation. It's not okay. I don't see a silver lining. Maybe other people are seeing it. I don't see it.
No, you're right. You're right. I had heard the Zizek argument. Like, I'd listened to him talk about it before.
Well, it's not just him.
No. But I wouldn't have taken it seriously from anyone else. Right. I'm just going to be honest. So I heard him say it.
For real.
And I didn't think of it, like, being the better option, even hearing him say it. It's
right.
Just, that is the revolutionary mentality. And
right.
That is, like, every revolution
right.
that's ever happened.
Right.
There could have been, and, you know, and we talked about it in our class, when we all did,
right.
where, like, there were moments, there's two types of revolutions, and there's, like, the slow roll, and then there's, like, the
right.
abrupt.
Right.
And what we're headed for is probably the slow roll.
Definitely.
But if it hadn't happened, it would have just continued. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. No, I don't think Zizek thinks Trump is
horrible.
A good option.
No, and he does not. And
yeah.
I know that he doesn't. It's
yeah.
just
I don't think he's excited about
it. I'm just
this.
Saying that I've heard that argument from people.
Right.
And you've probably heard it, like,
I'm just,
simplified
it's hard,
from most
right.
people.
And I've heard it,
and
I've just
accept.
Been like, shut up. Like,
it's,
no. But here's the thing. If there's going to be a revolution, I just hope, like, and this is important because I think that there's a big problem with the anti-Trump movement, which is we need to be, like, ever vigilant of fragmentation among the opposition. And this is, like, real important, you guys, and I'm seeing it already with people who are villainizing. I just heard it the other night, and this is very, like, you know, anecdotal, but I'm at a bar and someone's talking about, well, you know, I went to this anti-Trump rally in the city, which for us, the city means
San Francisco. Okay.
And this person was villainizing the fact that there was white men there with dreadlocks playing in a drum circle and, like, talking mad shit that there were just these people there. And if you've ever been in California, there's a lot of those people, and I just thought it was so petty.
What was their particular?
They were just mad. They were like, oh, like, you know,
because they're white?
These white cis men with their drum circles and their dreadlocks appropriating culture, and then, like, they don't even know what they're doing. They're just there because they think it's cool, and they're just taking selfies and uploading it on Instagram. And I'm like, excuse me? That's bodies that are present in support, demonstration, in support.
Being peaceful and...
Exactly. And that's what
exerting their right, yeah.
And I had a huge argument with this person, and it was so frustrating, and I just was having the worst time trying to convey to this person, hey, don't villainize this group of people that were there because you think that white cis males that play bongos don't have like a right yeah. to, you know, it's like, I understand both sides of it, but if there's going to be a revolution, there needs to be a united front against the evil.
Well, we're just kind of at a place, and this, it all ties together. Like, this is part of the reason why Trump came to be, is we're at this place where we have so many social justice warrior right. mentalities, yeah. which I don't think is bad, but it's to the point where if you're on that side of things, sometimes everything gets villainized.
Yeah, like no matter what you say.
No matter, and what happens there is, it's like you lose sight of people being humans and people having their own experiences, and you know, it's like, literally, like we live, to quote bell hooks, we live in a white supremacist yes. capitalist patriarchy. Yes. We live in that. That is the society we live in. And what's important to remember about that is we are all implicated by that. Mm-hmm. That's a society we live in the society we grew up in. So we all, every single one of us has been formed by those ideas. Like, we're feminists through and through. The fact, like, we have internalized misogyny. And that's something that education can make you aware of, and mm-hmm. it can make you work past. Likewise, you know, like internalized racism like all of these things are so multi-layered, and they're part of a toxic society. So yeah. just because somebody says one thing that by someone else could be read as not considerate of a certain group doesn't make them the bad party. It means that they are part of this toxic society. And right. the only way to get past it, in my opinion, is education. The yes. more you learn,
absolutely.
You learn, you become more aware. When you know better, you do better. And it's an everyday
yes.
process. Like, my feminism becomes better every single day.
Yeah.
Like, every single day it changes, and I learn new things, and I recognize new behaviors in myself that maybe were problematic.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
so this yeah. this notion that there are, that everyone needs to be demonized, like, mm-hmm. that's not getting anyone anywhere, because yeah. no matter how good you are on your, like, social justice information, like, somewhere down the line, you're gonna fuck up too.
Yeah, like, and like, yeah, don't get caught up in, I'm the perfect feminist, or I'm the perfect anti-right person, or,
yeah.
or whatever. That's just generating internal conflict, weakening what could be a united front against this horrible thing that's happening to our country.
I saw another Facebook friend of mine posted something. He's in Europe, and he had been talking to a black girl at a club, and he's very, like, white, like, Swedish-looking white, and someone came up to him and started explaining how, by him talking to her, he was exerting his white male privilege by being in a powerful position, and that's why she was more attracted to him, like, but doing it and not explaining, like, the idea in, like, a educational way, but, like, shaming him mm. about it, and making him feel bad for, like, talking to this girl. And it's like, that's so it's so deconstructive to, like, what we should be doing and talking about, and, like,
I think that kind of a thing happens. Very much relates back to how this election happened, because yeah. I think a lot of people who maybe are not, as you know, like, we are very much entrenched in a liberal university. Yes. Like, we learn these ideas on a daily basis. It's part of our community that we have here. It's part of our atmosphere. Not everyone has that life. Like, everyone yeah. has different lifestyles, and there are so many different, you know, ways to go about, like, living your life and learning, like, throughout this entire country. And I think this whole while it's great, like, I think, you know, obviously feminism is great, and yes. I think all of these, I don't know, just like becoming more knowledgeable and calling people out for problematic behavior, I do think all of that is super positive. But when you're doing it in this very, like,
a dogmatic
confrontational way, all that does is make people who maybe don't quite understand it feel shamed and feel the need to retaliate.
Which is not okay, especially when they're acting in harmless behavior. Like,
yeah.
And I'm sure there are times when it's maybe a little bit more of a gray area, but, like, the two examples that we've thought of, like, there's nothing inherently aggressive.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. If someone, like, there are definitely instances where behavior is super problematic and needs to be fucking called out right away. Not saying, like, if someone is, you know, shouting racial slurs, like, you fucking get in that person's face. Or if someone is, like, you know, making a rape joke, you're like, no, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
But if someone is kind of maybe doing something that shows their privilege, that's a different story. And I think we need to be a little more understanding of that and approach it more so in a way of, like, trying to educate as opposed to shaming.
Mm-hmm. And picking and choosing the right setting to do so.
Yeah.
Because not every setting is an appropriate time to educate. I mean, leading by example and putting a halt to bad behavior or, you know, like you were saying, if someone makes an inappropriate comment is one thing. But just going out of your way to educate someone and out of the blue in a certain setting is not appropriate.
But I mean,
or helpful.
It does, like the whole thing is a gray area. And I mean, I've had this conversation with you, Natalie. Like, I do think people deserve to be angry. I don't think people deserve to be silenced in any way.
Mm-mm.
Express what you need to express. You deserve to have the feelings you were having about this situation.
Yes.
And we all are having, you know, a whole myriad of feelings. Like, do that. But I also think at the same time, we need to figure out how to have conversations with each other.
Because that's where you and I didn't disagree, but got into a conversation about it, because you were a little more in the camp of being expressive and I was a little more in the camp of just trying to stay at the table. And I think we're on the same page. It's just like, even that, like, even us who have the same exact view, like, figuring out how to do this in a really...
Yeah.
Like,
we're all still figuring it out.
It's
we really, it's
no, and it's but
hard.
That's been, like, a really interesting thing. Like, the days after the election, like, my boyfriend and I got into some, like, really intense arguments, and it's like, we are on the same team. Like, we are 100% on the same team here, and we got into some really, because, you know, emotions were high, and we were both handling it differently, and we got into some really intense arguments because we just didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a real thing that's happening.
Yeah.
All, like,
which,
no one really knows what to do. So I think the best thing we can do is be sensitive, be patient, let people feel, and let people approach it the way they need to.
Yes.
And also when you can, when you, like, it's been such a roller coaster. Like, there are days where I am angry as hell, and I just, like, am about ready to, like, go off on people, and that is just what it is. And then the next day, or the next hour, I am feeling very calm, and I'm ready to have a very collected conversation with someone who thinks very differently than I am, than I do. And, like, I mean, we're all allowed to have those changes of heart and that kind of roller coaster experience. Let that happen. When you are capable of having those calm, collected conversations with people, do it. I think they're really important. Don't expect yourself to be able to do that all the time, though, either.
Right.
Take care of yourself. Go hang out with like-minded friends and just fucking rant.
Yeah.
It's so great. Drink and rant
with
people that you know are on your team. That really helps. And then, obviously...
Pop a volume and talk to someone who's on the opposing team.
Yeah!
On the opposing
team. Don't do it sober.
but
yeah,
you know.
Or a friend of mine
sedate
actually
sedate yourself slightly and then do it.
A friend of mine,
or get pumped and do it and just go all out.
Get pumped.
Take some like GHB and do it.
I'm like the devil on your shoulder, by the way.
A friend of mine posted something recently, and once again, interestingly, he and I 100% on the same team here, and I agreed with a lot of what he was saying. I also disagreed with things that he was saying. And like, he had this whole thing. He wrote up like a blog post and he quoted Aristotle, and I was like, fuck Aristotle. He was like,
oh, come on.
I know,
wait,
right?
Wait.
Fuck Aristotle.
Who quotes Aristotle in 2016? Get the fuck out my face.
Fuck that guy.
Aristotle is wrong about everything, guys. but don't get me wrong. Honestly, though, this dude who wrote this is a really good dude.
Oh, and I believe you.
He is. He's really smart.
We will
really
hold it against him.
Really great guy. And he had this post, and he talked about, it is really important that we're talking to the other side. But he brought up a really important point, that it's necessary that we're talking to the other side about things other than politics. Like, we need to remind each other that we're all human.
Yeah.
So reaching out to the other side and just talking to them about their, like, hopes and dreams is actually, like, a really important thing to do. Yeah, like, go to your neighbor who voted for the other person and talk to them about what's going on in their daily life.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, yeah, like, we're incredibly divided, and
yeah.
It's because, like, even, like, issues like racism, they come down to the fact that certain people are dehumanized.
Yes.
We all need to remind everyone that everyone is a human.
And in these situations where you may have disagreements with people who you're on the same side as, like, that just goes to show how difficult it is going to be overcoming the differences between the opposing sides, because if it's, and I mean, I've had the same situation with people where I have the same goal, like, end goal with, that getting there, we completely disagree. So, like, it's just a clusterfuck.
It
like,
is.
It's gonna be messy, and it's gonna be hard, and I think America has had, if anything, if this whole, like, whatever America was that some people imagine that it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It's still
we've had a track
undefined.
Record. They've had a track record of sweeping big issues under the rug and presenting a really clean facade and kind of eliminating the messiness of
mm-hmm.
life and history and all of these things. And we need to stop doing that.
Speaking of, I don't know if any of you have watched this. On Netflix, there's a series, The Untold History of the United States.
Yes.
It's so good.
Watch it.
Watch it. It very much, and it's not in a, it's in a very straightforward, like, this is exactly what happened, but it gives you a picture that is a lot fuller than what you probably learned in your U.S. history class in high school.
yeah.
And it shows you how, it reminds you that the United States is a part of this thing we like to call the world, and there's a lot more
the world
going on out there, and we are not the most important aspect of it. We are just a portion of it.
What?
Haven't you seen the maps? How big we are? How in the center we are? We're so important. That's actually how the world looks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not contorted at all.
So, I mean, obviously, we're not pretending to have all the answers. We're just as confused as the rest of you. If you are lost and confused and want to...
What are you doing?
That's
why?
Really interesting.
I'm desecrating the wine. It's called a spritzer.
I've never seen it done with red, though.
I haven't either.
I know, but you know what? It'll taste fine. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to detract from this very serious conversation.
We're just fascinated.
I just watered down my wine with fizzy water, you guys. And the other girls are very distraught. It's a,
a
distressing thing.
This
I am
is about
a
as sacrilegious as it gets for
I'm,
us.
I'm really sorry. I just need to not be, like, totally trashed yet again in a podcast. So I'm drinking mixed wine.
Can I have some sips of this for real?
Yeah. Yes, you may.
So I think this is going to turn into its own little mini episode.
Yeah.
We were originally going to keep going and have a long episode, but we're gonna
this is like our welcome back to us.
Yeah. We had to talk about it. We weren't gonna not talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
We needed the decompression.
Yeah, this is our election decompress episode.
And we've missed you all, and we just Well, we love you all.
Oh my god, and you guys are so
and we've
so
been thinking
sweet.
About you all.
You are.
You guys are like the sweetest too? Guys. Like I was just thinking about you guys. All you listeners and how great you are and how you missed us while we were gone. And you know what? We missed you too. And you're our friends. And we appreciate you.
We really do. And we are going to do some listener mail at the end of this. But before we do, there's a few other things I want to touch on in this election business because it's important.
Oh, my God.
First off, I haven't talked to you guys about this yet, but I'm at least planning to. There's the
World Wide Web.
The WWW. I don't know if you've heard of it. But the countrywide
march
that's going on Inauguration Day. And there's one in San Francisco that I...
And Oakland.
Oh,
whoa.
And
that was part of the San Francisco one.
There's one in Sacramento, too.
Oh.
But it's basically, I mean, it started, there's going to be one in Washington mm-hmm. on Inauguration Day. It basically just took off, and now they're all over the country. Literally all over.
It's fantastic.
Any major city is probably having one. And it's basically, like, it's not necessarily supposed to be, you know, anti-Trump, but it is pro.
But it basically is.
But it's the idea is pro-rights, pro-human rights, pro-women's rights. Show up with your human rights signs.
With your red berets.
Yes, with your red berets.
Jenny will be wearing hers. I'm going to get one.
And we'll march. So, yeah, our History Babes are going to be at one of those marches.
Yeah.
If you're in the United States, we encourage you to be at one. If you're outside of the United States and want to show some love, go for it.
Just go outside.
A friend of mine told me about a protest in Paris of mostly French women, and they were chanting, "Keep your hands away from my pussy." And I was like, that's amazing.
That is amazing.
And bravo, French ladies. Yeah. Or bravo, that's Italian, but you get it.
Get involved in any march that you can. Any charities that may be needing help. Mm-hmm. Cough, cough, Planned Parenthood.
Stephen
Colbert gives a great list at the end of his episode.
He does.
Episode.
So does John Oliver.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. That is what I meant. I meant John Oliver.
Yeah.
They're both adorable men with glasses.
I know.
And they're brunettes.
They are. So, charities that may be needing your help. There are so many ways to get active. You know, we're obviously using our platform that we have to talk about these things.
Use your platforms.
Whatever platforms you got, use them. That's how this 21st century world works.
Yeah.
Use those platforms. Last thing to go out on, want to talk about the Time cover.
Yes.
Okay, so Donald Trump was named Person of the Year.
Oh!
He was on the cover of Time. There is a great article, which we will post on the website for y'all, about this cover. And it is actually an amazing piece of subversive artwork.
Yes.
So, just quick rundown of what's going on with this. Obviously, the idea of Donald Trump being Person of the Year makes me want to puke. But it comes from this kind of idea, this tradition that, like, the person of the year is usually the most influential person of the year.
It's true.
Right. Inherently positive.
No.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm sure in 1938, Hitler would have been the person of the year.
He was.
Oh! Wow!
That's the thing.
Wow! Would you imagine that?
Wowie!
You know your history.
Carry on.
So, Time Magazine has had this tradition, Person of the Year is the most influential person of the year, and people such as Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler have been named Time's Person of the Year.
Wow.
Obviously, not an inherently, it's not meant to be positive thing,
right.
Always. It's just that they were influential. More interestingly, if you look at this image,
which we will post,
and this, my friends, is why art history is so important.
Fuck yeah!
Because learning how to read images matters.
I'm so juiced right now.
If anyone gives you shit for being in art history and they're like, you just play them what we're about to tell you and you show them this article.
Yes. Exactly, because learning how to read images is so important.
Clap back. I like the claps look on
them. I know, they show up on
beautiful.
Sound is neat. Anyways, so this image, and we'll post the article that goes more in depth, but it, one, is very reminiscent of Hitler's cover the Time magazine.
Yes.
It shows Donald Trump sitting.
Necessary for some people to say.
Sitting in this chair, which, as is discussed, could very much be read as a throne. The image has been faded. It you know, has that, like, Instagram filter to make it look old. Once again, hearkening back to this notion of history and, yes. and you know, the whole make America great again.
Right.
Like, things were better in a past time. So it's basically framing him as, you know, trying to use history to his advantage.
And the chair is very antiqued. It looks like a chair straight out of the Third Reich, if I do say so myself.
It's specifically...
More Louis the...
the 15th?
16th? Yeah. 15th or 16th?
14th?
Because it's the Louis right before the Revolution. French Revolution.
The 15th.
Okay, so it's a vintage Louis the 15th chair.
It's a very nice chair.
Yeah,
actually. It is. It's so subtly brilliant.
It is, because it's obviously it's referencing French kings and the ostentatiousness of mm-hmm. French kings.
Did he know? Did he know?
I doubt.
Oh, Trump had no idea.
Oh my god, Time knew.
Oh, Time. That's another thing that's very important. This is 100% intentional.
Yes.
This is not just some crazy thing we're pulling out of our asses.
Every detail was consciously presented. Even from, like,
so subversive.
The chair itself has some kind of wear and tear in it, so it's representing something that it has very distinct monarchical links, specifically to a king that was overthrown by the French Revolution, and then it has these, like, distress marks in the back of the mm-hmm, chair. Mm-hmm. So good.
And as the article points out, the chair not only suggests the blindly ostentatious reigns of the French kings just before the revolution, but also, more specifically, the reign of Louis XV, who, according to historian Norman Davies, paid more attention to hunting women and stags than to governing the country, and whose reign was marked by debilitating stagnation, recurrent wars, and perpetual financial crisis.
In parentheses, sound familiar.
So, all of that, so important. Also, there is this aspect that many people have been pointing out, which is just kind of funny, is that the red M in Time is placed directly above Donald Trump's head.
So good.
And it looks like devil's horns, which is kind of just hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all in all, this cover is, it's incredibly subversive.
It's hilarious.
It's very intentional.
He's making that stupid fucking face that he makes all the fucking time.
It is saying something with an image, you know, like, obviously people are writing about it, and we have words to help explain it, but the image itself says a lot if you're willing to look.
Yes. Read the image. Read it.
Read it.
Oh.
So,
Was that 1938?
Because
I'm
going to
freak out.
It might have been earlier.
Okay.
Ending on kind of an art historical note.
Yes, yes.
Also, our next episode is going to be on the reactionary... Oh, it was 1938.
Whoa! Jen, look at you. Jen
called it.
I didn't even know, you guys.
So our next episode is going to be about one of the most important artists of our time, the super reactionary, super political Ai Weiwei, who is a very important person to be thinking about right now, because he knows how to take art and make it say something about politics and society, and to once again use his platform to help people and raise awareness about things. So
we're
looking forward to talking about him. We'll end it with a listener mail from our friend Frederick.
I'll read it.
Okay, go for it.
Jen loves reading the listener.
You do.
You know what? I really do. Hey, Art History Babes. I discovered your podcast through Reddit. What? That's really cool.
Through Reddit.
And boy, oh boy, am I happy I checked it out. I just finished your Bob Ross episode, and I cried a lot. Oh, we cried too. I just wanted to say I'm so thankful for what you guys are doing, because art history is not the most popular subject, and it's so chill to get to hear you guys talk about it the way it should be, drunk and with passion.
That's what's up.
Oh, it's so good. As an introverted student, it's really hard for me to make friends at university, and I end up not really being able to share thoughts on all the things I'm learning. It's very frustrating and alienating, so it really was a relief when I stumbled upon the Art History Babes. Anyways, you're all doing a beautiful job, and I enjoy every episode. Thank you so much for doing this. Heart. Sincerely, Frederick. Oh, that makes me, like, want to cry. I'm going to get really emotional. I was like, wow. Like, I felt like that, too. I felt so alienated when I was doing my undergrad.
I just didn't talk to people about it.
Well, like, I felt like my major was, like, stupid, and I was always kind of ashamed to be like, oh, I'm majoring in art history. And I felt like I couldn't really make friends, and it was frustrating, and it was alienating. So, Frederick, I know what that feels like, and all I can say is that it's definitely felt a lot more inclusive, and I've made many more friends as a graduate student, and so if you are an undergrad and you're considering going on to do a master's or PhD, whatever higher degree you might be interested in, I think you might feel a lot more at home, and like you'll have a lot more in common with people you're working with.
Definitely. For sure. We've obviously had a great experience with each other with grad school, and and I don't know, there are people out there. There are other art history nerds out there. And
they're out there.
We appreciate you as a fan.
We appreciate you.
We appreciate you.
Thank you, Frederick.
Thanks for reaching out.
Your name is great.
Yeah.
Also. You have a beautiful name. We're not going to say the last name.
So much panache.
But it's very lyrical.
Thank you so much for sending fan mail. We have so much of it right now, and we're trying to make our way through it.
It's like Christmas.
It is. It's so exciting every time we get to read it. So yeah, send us emails. If you like us, write us a review on iTunes.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it. Like us on Facebook as well as any other platform. You can find us at arthistorybabes.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play.
We're on all of it.
And we're on everything.
We're on all of it.
SoundCloud.
SoundCloud. But thank you for listening to us just release about the state of things here in the United States of America. We'd be happy to hear any like thoughts you guys are having on this stuff, too. Obviously,
let's have a discourse.
Yeah, let's have a discourse. These things are important. You know, this kind of strays away from art, but also is very, very important to art. So,
art is politics.
Yeah, exactly.
Art is life.
Art is love.
So if you, please email us with your thoughts, concerns, questions. We would love to hear that. Thank you so much for listening.
We love you. You're beautiful. Don't fret.
Bye.
Good night.
From Cabernet.